Awesome. So welcome everybody to our third session of mentorship on July 5th, this beautiful stormy day, day after our Independence Day. Thank you for being willing to connect a little early this month so that I can tap in with you from Peru. Next Wednesday, I will have just gotten to Peru, or I might even be flying. So didn't seem like a good day to connect in and do the mentorship. Or maybe it was on the way back, I would have been flying. But anyway, we had to shift it. Thanks for changing dates. I think our next one is July 19th, and that's a Wednesday as well. I'll be an hour earlier than you in Peru, in Cusco, and tapping in from the energy there. And I'll be in ceremony a lot while I'm over there and visiting friends and sacred spaces. So I hope to be bringing that energy through to you. And I want to handle a little bit of business before we get started tonight. I just want to ask that if you'd like to invite friends, well, first of all, let me tell you that the mentorship is always open for people to join. So if you want to invite anybody, please do. They're welcome to join. They don't even necessarily have to catch up with the older recordings, but they're able to if they want to because they'll have access to them. But please don't send them or show them any of the recordings. If they want to know about me and my work, you can tell them to sign up for my newsletter and they'll get access to all the free webinars that I offered, and then they'll get an idea of how I work. And the reason that I ask this is because I want us to have a safe, sacred space that's only for the people who've signed up, because you all are getting to know each other. And if there's like some random person that hasn't signed up for this who's watching one of these recordings, that feels a little awkward to me. So if they really want to get to know what it can be like, you can tell them about it, and they also can get those free webinars through signing up for the newsletter. I had that come up in a conversation with someone today or this week who invited friends and was going to show them the recordings, and I realized that didn't feel good to my heart because this is a private space. These aren't public. So I just thought that would be good to mention because I hadn't thought of that before, and so it's best if we don't share these with people. Just so you know that this is safe, sacred space, and it's not being shared publicly. So thanks for that. But people can join anytime. I'm going to keep this going even after we take a break for the holidays. We're going to start up again. So I'm excited about that, and we'll see how it goes. For people who maybe do it for this first year, I might start a level two and have different groups. We'll see how that goes, have retreats for different groups, that kind of thing. So thank you for honoring that and keeping this a safe, sacred space. And if you have not yet signed up for the Facebook group, and if you want to, people are sharing, and it's really neat to see what you all are doing, especially this last week with all the prosperity mojo. That's been really fun to witness how things have been shifting for you all. And it keeps me thinking about it, too. I am open to receive. Even when I forget to say that, I'll see one of you all share something in the Facebook group, and it totally reminds me. So it's a big group support to me as well, because it really keeps me focused on what we're doing, and I'm super grateful for that. So I just want to mention that to anybody who hasn't been part of that Facebook group. If you want to, it's a really great way to stay linked in and to get to know each other better. And I've been able to sit in private sessions with some of you, and some of you will be here this weekend for cacao ceremony. So it's really neat to meet some of you in person that I hadn't before, or to talk to you over the phone. So that's pretty neat too. So what I'd like to do is start with a shamanic journey. And there's a few things that I've been receiving counsel around sharing today. And I also want to open it up for you all to bring what you want to work with. But I want to start with a shamanic journey just to get us all in the flow, get us all connected, and open up sacred space in our interwebs bubble here. So let's take a moment and breathe into our bellies. If you're able to, you can close your eyes. Invoking the pillars of this temple, Archangels Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel in the center, Sandalphon above, Metatron below. Activating this temple grid space so that we are in medicine world. And everything that is in this sacred space is pure love and pure medicine. And activating this energetic grid and extending that to link in with each of you wherever you are in the world, so that we are in one connected sacred space together. And just imagine yourselves sitting in a circle together around the ceremonial fire that sits in the center. Remember to breathe into your bellies to ground your energy. And just take a moment to connect in energetically with all of the other people in the circle. Even if you don't know what they look like, you can feel them circled up with you around the sacred fire. And if there's anything that feels draining, or anything that you're just ready to gift to spirit and let go of, just gift it to the ceremonial fire. Any stress, any worry, any sadness, fear, guilt, shame, lack energies, just anything that you would love to just gift to the sacred fire, to allow it to transmute and transform into smoke as prayers to Great Spirit. And then I'm going to ask the Minari to connect with each of us individually and bring in sacred water. As we connect with the earth and the fire, we now invoke healing water to soothe and cool and comfort and nurture each of you. You can feel yourself drinking it. You can feel it being poured over your head and just covering you. You can feel it flowing through you, bringing healing in every possible way, bringing peace and ease and calm, nurturance and support, nourishment, grace and ease. Setting the intention to get any stuck hucha flowing and moving. Just breathe into your belly to empower this energy to flow. And at the sacred fire, invite in your guides that you've been working with to surround you and encircle you for support today. Any animal totems, any beings of light, the Minari, if you'd like to work with them, any star beings, ancestors. And invite in the guides and the support that you normally work with, because we want to continue to create relationship with them. Create relationship through invocation. So as you invoke these energies to be around you, you're calling them for a conversation to create personal relationship. Just take a moment and connect in with some of your guides and receive gifts or healing energy. Or just ask themselves to make themselves very clear and tangible for you. Remember to breathe into your bellies. Just set the intention with your guides and ask them to stay circled up with you during this session today to support and assist for your highest and greatest good with grace and ease. And then feel yourself in the space where you are physically and breathe into your belly and feel your guides circled up there in your physical space surrounding you. See them or feel them. So that when you open your eyes, you still have your guides surrounding you right there in your physical space. So we had some questions. When you're ready, you can open your eyes and make your way back. I just wanted to open up the space and get you tapped in. And one of the things you'll learn in this process is how to stay tapped in even while I'm talking, even while we're gathered in this way. It's a practice on the internet to do that. I get it, because just videos and people moving and all of this, it can be a little distracting, but it's a really great way to work with distraction as part of the meditation. It's definitely getting me much more focused as we work in this paradigm. So one of the things that you'll want to practice doing is staying connected with your guides even while your eyes are open. So just take a moment and tap in and remember where your guides circled up around with you when you came back with your eyes open. Who's in front of you? Who's on either side? Who's behind you? One of the ways you create a relationship is to have consistency. We've talked about this before, and I will continue to remind you that consistency is key. And so as you invoke something consistently, it becomes very physical and tangible and manifested for you. So when I open sacred space, I always use the same star beings. I call them the same archangels, and I call them in the same places. Now, normally I'm facing the opposite direction in my healing room, but I learned at our first mentorship that it's too dark in there and don't have good Wi-Fi either. So I'm in my living room now, and I'm facing the opposite direction of how I normally face, but I'm still calling in the archangels, the star beings, in the same places that I call them in every time. Michael, Ariel behind my laptop, Gabrielle, that direction, Raphael behind me, Uriel in the center, Sandalphon above, Metatron below. So I activate this temple grid space. That's just how I work with it. You do not have to work with those beings, and you do not have to call them in the space that I do. But that's how I was shown by them before I even moved into this house. They showed me where they wanted to stand. And then when I got into the house and set up my healing space, I understood why. So even if I'm standing in the middle of the supermarket, I can call in Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Ariel, Sandalphon, Metatron. I may not do that out loud, but I can even just say angels and feel them around me immediately. So I can do that because I have a consistent practice with them. And the same thing with my healing team, which I've talk to you all about a little bit. When people ask me for support, I can't spend all day sending energy to people. I have clients to sit with and classes like this to do, and so I send my healing team. And my healing team is a consistent group of guides, and so I know who's going to them, even if I don't know what they'll be working on. And I've been working with this consistent group of healing guides for so long. I'm spitting at you now. For so long that I know who's in my healing team, and I know that they will, my intention is that they will bring that person who's asking for support, whatever they need for their highest and greatest good. So I can go about my day and get an email 3 hours later from this person about all these miraculous, wonderful things that happened, and I don't have to do anything. My healing team does it. And so, Laura, you had asked, you had asked about sending your healing team or sending healing energy to your mom, sending a healing team, and then letting it go. That's exactly what I do, is because I've set that intention with my healing team. And I know that my intention is set with them to support that person for their highest and greatest good. So I don't have to sit around all day sending healing light and love, and I don't have to worry about it. Your team can do that work on your behalf. And it's a really great way to send energetic support without feeling drained, without having to focus on it all day long, and to step out of the story. And these teams are available to you, and any energies that you like to work with can be on your team. I happen to work with the Munari archangels and some personal animal totems that are resonant for me. But my healing team has shifted over the years as I've worked with different energies, and it doesn't shift a lot because you need to be consistent. So invocation and consistency is part of how this becomes personal relationship. So when I invoke the Munari, I have a personal relationship with them. I'm not just invoking some random star being energy that I don't know anything about just because it sounds interesting, or they're friends. They are energies in the realms that I talk to or connect with every single day. So personal relationship is, and this came up in private session today with somebody who's here. And so I'm reiterating what we talked about earlier, because everything we talked about in her session, I feel, is really potent for what we're doing in this mentorship. The reason I can work with energies in the realms and have such powerful things happen for people in a manifested third dimensional way is because I have personal relationships with them. So creating personal relationship with your guides is key, and you want to ask questions, be proactive, listen, receive, talk to them, go play with them in the realms, call them in, even if you're just taking a ride or going to the store. Just be consistent. It's just like if somebody was living in your house and you never spoke to them, that would be odd and awkward, and you wouldn't have a relationship. So these energies are around you 24/7, and if you just never speak to them, they don't take it personally, but you're not creating a personal relationship with these energies that are available to you 100% 24/7, and don't bring any of the baggage that human support can sometimes bring. So it's a win-win. And there were a couple things that now I'm forgetting were on the Facebook page that people had asked questions. So I want to check in and see who's got a question and some things we can work with tonight to support you all. Looks like if I go to screen, I can't see the group chat. So you can either raise your hand or type a question in the group chat if there's, you know, because some people had some questions over the week. Ah, conscious language, Julie. Thank you so much. Yes, I loved what you shared. I love that you wrote to the Munari. That's awesome. I wanted to mention conscious languaging, and now I need to remember what you wrote on your thing. I was noticing within that a couple things, and this is just how I work, and just across the board for everybody. Take what resonates, and let the rest of it go. If it doesn't resonate for you, don't use it. I have a friend who consistently uses the word release in her shamanic healing work, and she doesn't have any challenges with that. Career stuff. Okay, got it, Anna Claire. So if you don't have any attachments around the word release and it doesn't feel resistance to you, that's great. Use it as long as it feels good to you. For me personally, I really prefer to not release, re-sign the lease, which in conscious languaging means we're re-signing the lease. And there's resistance there. If I want to release something, I'm in resistance. And if I'm in resistance, it just persists. So I personally don't use that. There was also some other languaging, Julie, that I don't remember specifically, but I'll use examples from what it felt like. If somebody says, I want unlimited prosperity, un and limited is not a word I would use. And again, this is, some of this might seem like semantics. It's also being aware and conscious of the vibration that we're working with. So I can't really remember some of the other words. I'll have to look on there, but I don't use things like unlimited. I don't use release. I use words like infinite, expansive, transmute, transform, integrate. I choose to use words that feel forward moving and have flow. So I want is not something I write down. I choose, I invoke, I embody, I express, I am. These are ways that I would use that. So, and I can probably type some more specifics in the Facebook group if you would like, Julie. Even as I'm talking to you all right now, I'm making an effort to really listen to my languaging so that I can say, I choose different words instead of however else I might phrase that. And instead of saying but, saying and. I like that but. I like that and. It can seem like a little thing, and it can really start getting us aware and intentional. And that's what I like about it. I like the intentional aspect. And so for me, being conscious of the language that I choose and recognizing if it feels small or if it feels expansive to me personally, like the word unlimited, to me feels better to say expansive or infinite or something that feels outward, expansive, something that feels expansive and big, and it feels good to me, whereas unlimited, sometimes people will say, I want to be fearless. I don't want to be fear and less, right? I want to be courageous. So I choose to be courageous. That's how I would phrase it. I would take want out. I would take fearless out. I would say, I choose to be courageous. And actually, then I would take that a step further and say, I invoke courage. I embody courage. I am courage. I am courageous. Because for me, it's really just about sacred remembering. So we're not really calling anything in that's outside of us. We're invoking and embodying what's already there so we remember. So those are just some ideas to play with languaging, to work with conscious languaging, and to shift the paradigm, because there's a lot of programs set up in our language. When we spell something, when we write, we're writing spells, spelling. We're creating magic every time we open our mouth, every time we write something down. So that feels exciting to me to play with that. It feels good to play with that, not in a feel stressed out about it kind of way. And, oh, no, I just said I want, and, oh, no, bad things will happen. It's not like that at all. It's, for me, it's tracking energy, and it's tracking energy and questioning the language and questioning the energy of it, questioning the vibration, so that I can play with it and find energies that feel really expansive. And then I start working with new paradigms and new programs. And so I chose to bring that in to share. And so thanks for reminding me, Julie. Beverly just sent a message saying, hey, from me messaging her earlier. Beverly has strep throat and has been really, really sick. So thank you all for sending her lots of good energy. Bless her heart. She really wants to be here. Julie says, it's funny because I just watched that video where you talked about it. I reread it. I realized that I should have not even put energy to what I didn't want. Yeah, perfect. And it's okay. I mean, that's what we do. This is how we play with the language and have fun with it and see where it goes. And like I said, if the word release works for you and there's no click there for you, there's no catch, there's no hook, then go for it. For me, as soon as I heard the idea of re-signing the lease, I understood in my world why people are constantly releasing, because I do healing work. And so people are constantly releasing and releasing and releasing and then come and sit with me and don't understand why it's not released. It's totally released. We've re-signed that lease over and over. So that was a big aha moment for me, which really helped shift my programming and paradigms and the words that I use. So that's why I like to share it. Career stuff, next step. So, and negative versus hoochah. Let me go to that first. Elena, let me make sure I'm answering your question and understanding. Hoochah is stuck energy in the Andean tradition. That's all it is. It's not negative. It's not positive. It's just energy that's not moving and not flowing. So when they talk about hoochah, they're talking about energy that's not moving, and they would like for it to be moving and flowing. So if you had a river that's stuck and it's not flowing, it gets dammed up, and it might feel good for a little while, then it gets stale, then it gets stagnant, And so we want that energy to flow. So hucha is not considered negative or positive. It's simply stuck energy, or energy that we perceive as stuck, energy that we perceive as not moving. And so we want to get that energy moving. And then the way they say it is clear the hucha, and clear the hucha by getting the energy moving. So hucha, when I use the term hucha, it simply means stuck energy. And again, that's a perception of stuck energy, and that's how it feels. And if it feels stuck, we want to get it moving. So hopefully that answers your question. Let me know if not. So Anna Claire, can you unmute Anna Claire, please?
Hi.
Hey there. So my question for you is, how long have you been wondering this question about career stuff, next steps?
I guess it probably started when I came back from Peru earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So February, March, kind of early spring. And I've just been kind of going through some transitions and realizing where I want to focus my energy and where I don't, and what really feels good and what doesn't. So I'm letting go of some responsibilities, but that also leaves a gap in my finances. And so kind of coming back around to some of the stuff we worked on last week. Mm-hmm. And I'm also kind of trying to step out on my own and do some kind of grow my own practices and business as well. So kind of a lot of things culminating at once.
Okay. And the reason I asked, and thanks for sharing and being willing to talk about this with everybody, because everybody at some point has questions about next steps and letting certain things go that don't feel good, and really supporting themselves physically and otherwise, doing things that do feel good. If I'm remembering correctly, this started long before Peru. I feel like I remember talking to you about this last year, or maybe even earlier, which is why I wanted to touch base with you. And I might be remembering incorrectly.
That's possible. I guess I started thinking about it more seriously earlier this year.
Right.
But I definitely kind of was hitting some walls last year, and maybe what I thought was really going to be expansive didn't feel so expansive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the reason I mention that is because we want to track the energy and recognize if you're in a pattern with it. That's the reason I mentioned track the energy and go, oh yeah, this didn't just start here. This energy has been with me long before I was ever making money or doing anything as a career. So you want to start tracking the energy to seeing where it's really coming from, because the confusion and the Beverly doesn't seem to realize that she's sending me message after message after message as I'm talking to you all. I definitely invoked her, because now my phone is blowing up. She seems to have completely forgotten that this is where I am right now. Normally she would be here. So I apologize. I'm turning my phone away so I can't be distracted. You want to start tracking the energy to find out where it's coming from, which isn't really about what your next steps are. It's about the confusion piece and the inability to move forward in what feels good without feeling stuck or deer in headlights kind of feeling. And so what I'd like to do a gentle soul retrieval. I'd like for everybody in the group to receive it. Are you open to that, Anna Claire? Can you unmute?
Yes.
Okay, great. So let's leave her unmuted just in case. I apologize if there's a little bit of feedback. Hopefully, can everybody hear me okay? Just nod. Great. Okay. Sometimes when we unmute people, there's a little bit of feedback. But what I'd like to do, and Elaine, I'll get back to you in just a minute. Thanks for messaging there. What I want to do is a gentle soul retrieval with the group to not focus on what you want to be when you grow up kind of thing, or what you want to do with your life, but really to tap in with your little girl or little boy self that has been afraid to really step into your full expansiveness and to really step into your personal power, because that tends to be the seed of what comes next, regardless of if the rest of you are looking for careers, or even if your question is different from hers, this will be supportive for you in your journey in a different way. Okay. So you ready, Anna Claire?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody take a moment and breathe into your bellies. And Anna Claire, I'm going to walk you through it, but we're going to be doing it for the group, okay? But I want each of you to have your own, I want each of you to have your own journey with it. Even though I'm doing it with Anna Claire, you'll be visualizing your little girl or little boy self. Hopefully that's clear. So breathe into your bellies. And maybe you should go ahead and mute Anna Claire because that's getting some feedback there. Okay, great. Thank you. Breathe into your bellies, and if you're able to, close your eyes. And I want you to connect in with your guides and feel them circled up around you right where you are. And just ask them to circle up to bring you support in this process. And I want you to invite in, well, first I want you to tap in with your body. And I want you to feel into your body if there's any anxiety of what do I do next? What's my next step on the journey? Regardless of if it's career or personal, professional, whatever it is, just take a moment and dive into your body and feel into where that anxiety is. Is it in your solar plexus? Is it in your belly? Is it in your head? Is it in your heart? Is it in your shoulders? Wherever it is, it might be in more than one place. Really feel into that and find that place in your body. And take a moment, and if there's more than one place, pick the place where you feel it the most, where you feel the most sense of confusion or anxiety or not sure or can't figure it out. And I want you to literally feel yourself dive down into your body and go connect with that place in your body, inside your body in that place. Take a moment and look around and see what it looks like there. Is it dark? Is it light? Is there a little monster running around? Is there sadness? Is there, you know, what does it look like? What does it feel like in that space where you've been holding that fear and that anxiety? So Paige, can you unmute Anna Claire? And Anna Claire, tell me where it is in your body. Where do you feel it?
I feel it most in my stomach and the solar plexus.
Okay. So what do you see in that place when you tap in down there? What does it look like? What does it feel like?
It kind of feels like a cave with some light areas and some dark areas and some tunnels, and mm-hmm. some of it is more easy to navigate than others.
Okay. So tap in with the energy of the anxiety and the confusion and the not sure how to move forward, and ask that energy to step forward and show itself to you, that energy that's been living down there. And what does it look like?
Well, I don't know if it's because of what you said to tap into, but it definitely feels kind of like a little scared me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so just
kind of afraid to be myself, I guess, and mm-hmm. if that's okay.
Yeah. So ask that little scared you to step forward so that you can see each other a little better And just take a moment to ask that energy, just from your heart, just ask that energy, what do you need? And see what that energy tells you. This is not a thinking, this is a feeling. So just ask that energy, what do you need? And share with me what you receive.
A hug and a flashlight.
Okay. So can you give it a hug?
I can.
Take a moment and do that. And why would this energy like a flashlight?
Because it feels like it's been in the dark for a long time and it just needs to, I guess, maybe get its bearings.
Mm-hmm. Would it like to be in a bright, sunshiny place? Would that feel better?
Yes.
Where would it like to go in your body so that it can see some bright, beautiful sunshine?
Feels like the chest area. I don't know if it's exactly the heart, but just that general area, I guess.
So are you willing to lovingly hug that energy and bring it up to your chest area?
Yes.
Good. So tell us what happens when you get there.
Feels lighter.
Mm-hmm. What I was seeing was it's like you took it up and now it has this beautiful view. And it can see from up there, up at your heart. It's got this beautiful view that it can see now.
Yeah.
Ask this energy if it would like to live in your heart.
Yes.
Yeah. And are you willing to let it?
Yes.
Okay. So just take a moment and let this energy create a beautiful space in your heart that's just for it, where it can see and it's bright and sunshiny and things are clear and it feels good and safe and held. And when you can see that, just allow that energy to flow into that sacred space in your heart. So that you know that that energy is taken care of, safe, secure, able to see where it's going now, able to make decisions from your heart instead of way down there in that dark, cavernous place. And have you got it in there? Good. Now I want you to make your way back down to your solar plexus and your tummy area. And I want you to ask your guides to just light that place up. Light up your solar plexus with a beautiful yellow sunshine energy and light up your belly and your second chakra. Just activate that space and let that part of your body know how much you love and appreciate it. All that anxiety and that tension was just trying to get your attention. So tell that part of your body, thank you. And really show love and appreciation to that part of your body that's just been trying to get your attention. And see how the energy shifts when you do that. And how does that feel?
It definitely feels better. It doesn't feel as tight or constrictive.
Good.
Or open.
Good. Just set the intention that that energy will continue to flow and move so it doesn't feel stuck and afraid there. And remember to breathe into your belly to integrate all of this. And then when you're ready, you can more fully integrate into your entire body and feel yourself in your body and check back in with that little energy that's in your heart so that you can see and feel that energy, make sure that it feels safe. And then as you fully embody your physical body, you can recheck back in with your solar plexus and your belly and just see both of those spaces just filled with light. And really, really offer up appreciation to those parts of your body, those aspects of you, so that they feel seen and heard and received and appreciated and honored and respected, listened to you. And then when you're ready, you can breathe deeply into your belly and then gently, gently open your eyes. How's that feel, Anna Claire?
Feels good. Yeah, thank
I didn't even think to ask if you were like driving or something, so I hope you were okay.
No,
with all that.
No, I'm good.
Okay, great. You can go ahead and mute Anna Claire. So one of the reasons I wanted to walk her through that with all of you on the calls, because one, that's my vision for these calls, is to be doing more of that. But as I walk her through it, you see how it can work and you get ideas. Now, your experience might be different. You might tap in with a completely different energy there. It's very much about a soul retrieval for that part of your body, for that energy that's down there that feels afraid, because often this is your personal power that's hiding out in different parts of the body, and it's got all this energy, but it feels like anxiety, and so we feel afraid of it. So the best thing that you can always do across the board is ask the energy, what do you need? Because even if it's an energy that needs to clear out, and it's actually not something that you need to be carrying, we still want to ask it lovingly, what do you need? Because even the biggest monsters, when you just show up with compassion and say, what do you need? Even the most scary energies kind of just start to melt and soften and feel seen and received and heard and acknowledged. And that's really all that's happening. When you can't get clarity on how to move forward, there's an aspect of you that's feeling scared and wants to be retrieved, a gentle soul retrieval. So we worked with the energy that she was feeling in that space that is probably a little girl version of her that was hiding out down there, but which was probably supportive at some point on her journey, but isn't supportive anymore. And so even though it may seem like this isn't a point A to point B of how do I move forward with my life, it's very much connected. It's about getting you back in your body, all of you, in a way that feels safe, grounded, embodied. And then you can make decisions from your heart that feel good and expansive. Even if you're a little nervous, even if you're afraid, you know it's an expansive heart decision and you move forward. Now, some of those decisions may come to fruition and work out really well, and some may not. I have my own personal examples of things that my heart said, do that, and I did it, and I put money and time and effort, and it has not returned to me in the way that I wanted it to return to me. And the particular thing I'm thinking of, I knew when I was putting all that energy into it, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to be doing. So it is no surprise to me that it has not expanded into what it could be, because it's not really what I wanted to be doing. And so when I started shifting into what feels good and what I really wanted to be doing, that has returned to me energetically, financially, and otherwise. And I still put a lot of time and money and effort into that other thing first. And that other thing got me here. if I hadn't done that other thing, I wouldn't have learned all the things that have gotten me here. So nothing is a waste of time. Nothing is wasted energy. It's preparing you. It's helping you move forward. So soul retrieval, whether it's an aspect of you as a child or if it's simply an aspect in your body that's been hiding out in a space that doesn't feel good. And I like to talk to the body. If you're carrying, dis-ease or discomfort or issues in the body, I like to go and talk to that place in the body and say, what do you need? Because it's simply talking to us, it's simply communicating. And if we go, stop hurting, stop talking to me, stop bugging me, and we make that part of our body feel bad, then we don't get the lesson. We don't receive the information on how to support it in shifting. So integration. I don't understand the question. So when y'all sign in and you don't use your real names, I don't know who I'm talking to. So whoever happiness is, then why is it your heart telling you to do it? I don't understand that question. So I might need to check in with you. Soul retrieval, is it always going back to some past version of you? Mine was a pack of spiders that I saw. Julie, no, soul retrieval isn't always necessarily literally a version of you. So what Anna Claire saw in her solar plexus area, she said it might be a little version of her, but it also might not have been. It also could be that pack of spiders is an aspect of you that might feel, it might be your little girl self that's showing up in a different way. So sometimes I've worked with people and they'll have some big monster energy show up that feels really scary. And they're like, make it go away. But it's actually an aspect of that person and their personal power that became scary. It might be their psychic abilities. It might be their artistic abilities. It might be a little girl or boy version of them that got really big and scary because it wanted to seem strong. And so that's why I like to tap in and find out what do you need? Because as we watch it soften and shape-shift, we can see what's really going on there. So it can totally be a pack of spiders. It can be a being of light. Sometimes people will go into their bodies and look for energies to talk to them, and it's just a big glob. Sometimes it's a big glob of icky goo. But as we love that glob and we talk to that glob and we find out what that glob needs and it's able to feel seen and heard and received and loved, it'll start to shift. It'll start to shape shift into something that feels lighter and healthier and brighter. So, so whatever you see is perfect. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And the spider medicine could also be the spiders. There could also be, as an adjunct, information that spider totem wants to share with you. So I would check in with the spider medicine too. So Marianne, that's a perfect example. Yours was a monster and then you hugged it and it turned into you as a little girl. That's exactly what I'm talking about. A lot of times when you will just bring love to this energy, it'll shapeshift and it's no longer frightening and scary anymore. And it's this little girl going, I'm scared, but it got all scary feeling and it got big and monstery because it wanted to feel safe. So that's a great example of what I was talking about. So Bloom Post, that's funny. That's you, Paige, because you're signed in on my account. I'm like, how did I message myself? Yours is bright light and feathers, and that's great. If it was bright light and feathers, then work with that. It doesn't necessarily have to be something scary, and it is something that we want to talk to and connect with and find out what it needs to see if there's anything that wants to shift there. Or maybe that bright light and feathers wants to become something more grounded and tangible to support you in manifesting. You know, and I'm not trying to be vague in my answers. My intention is to let you know that you want to check in with these energies and find out what they're bringing to you, because you will know best what they're bringing to you. If I'm working with you one-on-one, then I can check in with you. But I want to go back up. Elaine, I just mentioned Hoochie because stuck energy is stuck and seems negative. Conscious language, not a question, just an example. Ah, that was just an example. Got it, Elaine. Thank you. Yes. That's a great example of it's not negative or positive. And Hoochie is a great way to work with conscious language. The word Hoochie is a great way to work with conscious language so that we don't get attached to negative or positive. Um, But let me go back to, then why was your heart telling me to do it? If my heart's telling me to do something, and I know that it moves forward, even if it's not quote unquote successful in the way that I thought it would be, that doesn't mean it wasn't worth doing. And it doesn't mean it didn't bring me the lessons to move me in the right direction. I think that's what you're asking. So I'll give you all a perfect example. I'll give you the example I'm thinking of so that I'm not talking in generalizations. I spent about $3,000 and a whole lot of time videotaping these online Shaman's Toolbox shamanic training recordings. They're awesome. I think everybody should do them because then you, everything, every question you're asking me here, almost all these questions are answered in those videos. But the truth is, I didn't want to do recorded videos. I wanted to do live stuff. So the whole time I was filming, we had a blast. We had a good time. I'm glad I did it. I learned a lot. But I also knew in my heart, I wanted to be doing this kind of training live. I wanted to be doing something like this. And so, I mean, there's maybe been like 4 people who've signed up for it. And that's okay. I haven't even made back the money like that I paid to film it. But I don't care. I learned how to get more comfortable in front of a camera. I learned about videotaping. I learned a lot about how I work and that I really do prefer to work live than recorded. I also think that those videos have a lot of great information in them, and the people who sign up for it will get a lot of great information. And so it wasn't a loss. I don't feel like it's a loss in any way. My heart told me to start videotaping that stuff. Maybe 6 months or a year from now, people will suddenly see it and start signing up, and I'll be like, wow, suddenly everybody wants to do it. So my response to, if my heart's telling me to do it, and I felt anxious about doing it, but I knew that was where I was supposed to be. I knew I was supposed to be recording those. And the training that I got from recording those videos helped lead me to the idea for this. It's what got me clear that I wanted to be doing live instead of recorded. It's what got me clear that we can do stuff online, because the people who've done those Shaman's Toolbox trainings videos have received, even though it's recorded, which let me know that when we do this online mentorship, if you watch the recording, you can still receive. So in response to why would my heart tell me to do it, because that's what I was supposed to be doing, it didn't turn into what I thought it would turn into, and it still brought me to all sorts of other places. And so if I had it to do again, I would do again. But that's the specific example I was thinking of. It did not become the big, like, thousands of people signed up or whatever. You know, I wasn't really thinking in those terms. But it didn't become some big, huge business success or whatever. But it's something that's there available for people. And the people who are called to it are signing up for it. And so it's a win-win. Even if nobody else signs up for it, it was a win-win, and it gave me confidence. It helped me push through all of my issues around I don't look good on camera. I'm fat. I look fat. But I had all these stuff about how I look on video, and I didn't want to be on video because it was just felt awkward, and I felt like I was living in a selfie, you know, and it's just weird, and it helped me get past all that. So it was totally worth doing, and that's why my heart told me to do it. And it's still on my website if you want to check it out. But it really helped me realize this is what I wanted to be doing, because I did not get any energy back from the camera. I was literally talking to a camera. Now, the camera guy got a whole level 1 and 2 training, and he was psyched, and he was into it. At one point, we had to stop because he was actually doing a cord clearing and forgot what he was recording. I was like, dude, you can't talk back to me. We're recording, and he totally forgot where he was. So it was definitely working, and it showed me that I wanted to be interacting, because even here online, even though we're on this web page, I can see you. I can feel your energy, even if we're not talking to each other. So it was a great learning experience. You do not always, Michelle, you don't always have them move it to another part of the body. It's not always needed. And Elaine says hers was a very deformed monster in your liver gallbladder. It wanted to have fun. So if you're having issues with your liver gallbladder, you probably need to be having more fun. Your doctor's not going to tell you that. That's the ironic thing. This is the shamanic aspect that we're working with. And these energies are telling you what they need. And it may not make sense in your head. Oh, my liver gallbladder will feel better when I go have fun. And that's exactly what, from the soul retrieval shamanic aspect, is needed, from a soul loss aspect. And so Michelle, I did have her move it to her heart because that's where it wanted to go. It wanted to go somewhere where it could see, where it had vista, where it was lighter and brighter. Usually these energies want to go and live in your heart. That's how we integrate them into pure love and pure medicine, because we associate the heart with love. So that's why I asked the energy, where would it, it said it couldn't see. And so where did it want to go? And really, if you do a gentle soul retrieval with your little girl self or with an energy in your body, we always bring it into the heart. Maybe not always. As soon as I say that, I'll do a session with somebody tomorrow and it'll happen differently. That's the beauty of shamanism. It's all yes. And as a general rule, we want to create a sacred space in the heart, integrate that energy into that sacred space so it feels held, seen, received, loved, safe. It's usually very much about safety, feeling safe, to trust, trusting that you are safe so that you can move forward with whatever it is. So there are times, and not generally, but just to be all, in all transparency to answer your question, Michelle, there are times I'll sit with people where we'll tap in with an energy that we actually need to clear out of the body. It might have been something that attached from mom or dad or lineage or, you know, people. I sat with someone today, and I've sat with a number of people who've been in cults, and they've had stuff implanted or stuff attached to them. Those can feel like little icky monsters, and they actually don't belong to that person, and we need to clear that out. I would imagine that most of you are not dealing with that. If you are, you will want to sit with me privately, or we can work on it here. Totally up to you. That's usually the only time I don't move it to the heart space, is if it's something that's not yours to carry. I would say 99% of the time, it's an aspect of you that wants to be loved and seen and received. Okay? Awesome. Get my granny glasses.
I love you, granny glasses.
Paula, mine looked like a black monster rising out of a lake, but then I realized it was a swan covered in oil. That's awesome. So I washed the oil off and she was able to then fly. That's beautiful. That's awesome. Mine was in the stomach and it needed to be doused with water. Yeah, that's beautiful. Mine started in my heart and didn't want to move. So, yeah, there you go, Michelle. If it's in your heart, it doesn't want to move. It just wants to feel safe and seen and listened to. These energies are like little kids. You know, even if you don't have a child of your own, it's like a little kid who's sitting there completely being ignored and keeps saying, I'm lonely, I'm lonely, I'm lonely, until it's just aggravating and hurts and painful. And so really just paying attention and honoring them can make such a huge shift. Because it's your body speaking to you. It's your energy body speaking to you, your physical body speaking to you. So listening is a big shift. How would you know if you have that? Are you talking about implants? Where's Marianne? Not if you're talking about implants and that kind of stuff. Yes? Okay. Trying to read lips here with Marianne. How would you know if you have an implant? That's a good question. Most people don't know. Most people come to me and have dis-ease or depression, or just they have a lot of issues and challenges in their life and they cannot seem to get unstuck. And it's generally pretty intense. Often they'll have a sense of entities or dreams about entities. Generally, there's things that have happened in their life that feel very much outside them. And so they'll come and talk to me about it and I can check in and scan and see if there's something attached to them. I hesitate to mention things like that because I don't want you all to start walking around afraid that you have things attached to you. As a general rule, you do not. Generally, that kind of stuff is from deep-seated trauma or from working or living or being with experiences like cults. Or I've had people who've worked with teachers. This is kind of intense to start talking about, and we can talk about it. But I've had people work with teachers. They've even said, I worked with a shaman and he put something in me, because that person said he was going to put something in them to help them. and then everything just kind of went downhill for them. I don't know if that person was purposely trying to hurt them or if they thought they were helping, but it didn't. I don't have any judgment over that. I just know what the person brought to me. So if you sit in plant medicine ceremonies with teachers who aren't really adept at holding sacred space, energies can flow in and attach themselves to people. This is a whole other realm of shamanism that I'm getting into, which majority of you all, maybe all of you, are never going to have to worry about. If you've been in a cult, then we probably need to have a private session. And I'm not even saying that to be funny. I literally sit with many people who've grown up or joined one and then somehow got out. But those are the kind of places where it can happen. It's not typical. And entities are not typical. A lot of people like to talk about entities, but an actual entity that takes over someone and has absolutely nothing to do that with that person, more like an exorcism is needed, is very not typical. Entities are generally entities are always energies that we create, unless the person has been completely taken over. I've dealt with someone who had that experience, but believe me, that's incredibly rare. In almost 20 years of doing this work, I've had one person who had an actual entity that took over them, and they had no understanding of what was going on. So that's a whole other question. I didn't mean to get into all that. Audrey, mine was also in a cave. The cave was in my heart. There was a lot of mud, and then there was a little me in pink pajamas before I was old enough to talk. That's very sweet. So, and you might have already done this, Audrey, but you can, you know, clear that mud out if it doesn't feel good to have mud in there, and connect with your little self with in pink pajamas and hug her and hold her and ask her, what do you need? Often our little selves just need to be held and hugged and know that they're safe. Totally up to you. She may say, I want this cave to be all sparkly and full of stars and fairies and unicorns, and I might just be making that up, or that might be literally what she wants. I'll let you talk to her and find out. So that's pretty neat. Energy that isn't yours, could it be past life cult or energy? Yeah, it could definitely be past life. Please don't get all attached to this entity. This is why I'm so hesitant to talk to people about this stuff. Don't get attached to this. I'll tell you how entities start. People have stuff going on in their life. They don't take responsibility for it. They feel like something's happening to them. They decide that it's an entity, and then boom, they have an entity. That's exactly how entities work. Been doing this almost 20 years, had my own entities to clear, and the entities that were in my world were there because I wasn't taking full responsibility and integrating everything. I couldn't see that at the time, and they felt like things outside of me because I literally had things outside of me because I was giving them energy. Do not give these things energy. If you walk in a world where entities exist, then you will see entities. If you do not walk in a world where entities exist, then they won't bother you. And I know that might be a little confusing for people, and this is shamanism, and this is a shamanic mentorship. So I'm going to say things that might sound contradictory, because that's shamanism. Shamanism is yes and yes. Do entities exist? Yes. Do entities not exist? Yes. Are entities completely made up in your head? Yes. Are entities real and third dimensional? Yes. So that's the challenge in working with entities with people. When they come to me and say, I have entities, then I know they've assigned a lot of power to this energy, and they're giving it energy, and thus they have a bigger sense of something harming them or doing something to them, and it makes it challenging for them to take responsibility and shift it. So it's a balance of taking responsibility. If you feel something outside of you that feels like an entity, you take responsibility for creating that, co-creating that energy, and you also clear, cleanse, transmute, and transform it into pure love and pure medicine. So we could do a whole workshop series on entities. The reason I don't do a workshop series on it is because they will only be there if you are willing to work with them. And when you grow up and you have lots of trauma, so I had a lot of deep sexual abuse stuff happening starting when I was like 8 months old. So I grew up in a situation where I wasn't in my body. So it was easy for me to have an experience of entities. The only reason they felt like entities, though, was because I had fear and didn't feel safe. Throughout my life, as I've become more embodied, soul retrieval, getting into my body, I feel safe. Then I don't have that sense of entities around me. So is that making sense for everybody? That's a whole wormhole. And I'm happy to talk about it. I also encourage you, do not start obsessing about entities. None of you have entities attached to you in such a way that you need to be afraid or fearful, or don't even go there. Fear is what creates entities. If you have a sense of something attached to you that doesn't feel like yours, clear cords. Clear cords with your lineage, clear cords with your family in case you feel like it came from there. If you think maybe it was a past life thing, then clear. Just do the cord clearing and imagine throughout lifetimes, timelines, dimensions, and realms, any spaces where there was enough fear to manifest something that could feel like an entity, and with grace and ease, transmute and transform it into pure love and pure medicine and be done with it. My biggest challenge sitting with people who think they have entities is they obsess over it. And they name it, and they're like, there's this entity, and his name is Jack, and he helps me, but he hurts me. And like, they get really obsessed, and they start talking about ETs and the grays and mind control, and they just start spiraling out. That's not going to help you. So taking full responsibility, the general soul retrieval, I call myself to myself with grace and ease throughout life on timelines, dimensions, and realms. The more you get embodied and grounded, there will be no concern about entities. That's my job. I'm here on the planet to help work with that stuff. So I still allow myself to see them. For me personally, though, they don't attach to me. I don't have that experience in my personal world, my personal life, because I'm fully embodying, taking full responsibility, and doing all of the soul retrieval mojo. So getting a little parental on that, but don't want anybody to be, don't want you to get too obsessed over entities, because that's an entity-like energy right there. Obsession. Obsessiveness is how entities get created. It's just such an irony. I find the inner whole thing fascinating, and that's because I'm called to do that kind of stuff on this planet. I'm a weirdo. I love when, like, entity energies show up and get all funky, because, like, sessions get real interesting for me, you know? And I've also spent almost 20 years training to work with this kind of stuff because I just find it fascinating, and I also know that they don't exist even though they exist and I work with them. Yes, cords can be cleared without clearing actual relationships, just like soul retrievals can be done without knowing every single soul retrieval story. So you can clear cords with, what was the specific question? Yeah, you can clear cords, energetic attachments, intrusions, hooks, cords, unhealthy karmic contracts or karmic contracts that no longer serve you. You can clear that with your family lineage, and you don't have to know who they are. So I'm adopted. I've done cord clearing and cleaning up my karma with my adopted family and my birth family. And I don't really know a lot about my birth family, and I still have cleaned that up. And I feel honestly that one of the reasons things get clearer and clearer and clearer on my personal journey is every time I sit with one of you all and do a cord clearing or a soul retrieval and you repeat after me what I say. So if somebody's clearing energy with Tommy, whoever Tommy might be in their world, I say to them, I state your full name, ask your forgiveness, Tommy, and I do the whole thing with you. I've cleared cords with more human beings that I have no clue who they are. And I feel that I'm clearing cords with all these people. I realized this in the last couple weeks. I've done so many cord clearings with total and complete strangers, with different people's lineages, with their families that I don't even know who they are. And it's made me realize I'm cleaning up energy with everybody, because in some lifetime, timeline, or dimension or realm, I'm connected with these people because we're all one energy. So really what we're doing is invoking to have an aligned, balanced, harmonious vibration. All of these tools I'm sharing with you are simply tools to empower you to feel and remember your alignment and to be fully embodied, feeling safe, balanced, harmonious, trusting, so that you can live from your heart. so that you can truly write your story the way you want to write your story. Because in the big picture of things, there's no cords. We're all one energy. And we live in this relative experience. So we do the work in this relative experience as well. It's a really funny thing, shamanism. Kind of cracks me up. It's 8:14, so I'm going to answer this briefly, I hope. Can you talk about collective energies? I've had some experiences recently that I'm still working on figuring out. When you introduced the Minari last week, it really began to make sense. I don't feel my experiences are with them, but some other collective that I'm just getting to know. Yeah, you may or may not be working with specifically the Minari. Just to throw more possible confusion into your world, you won't be confused. You're totally clean and clear, and you love all this information, right? Okay. The Minari are energies that I physically see who look a certain way when I connect with them, and they were introduced to me from that elder in Mount Shasta who saw them a certain way and told me what she thinks they look like, and I went from there. She says that they're a collective energy, similar to Abraham of Abraham Hicks, who's a collective energy. When I talk to Abraham, because I don't have to wait for Esther to show up to talk to Abraham, I can just go talk to Abraham. So can all of you. When I talk to Abraham, it feels very similar to when I talk to the Minari, to when I talk to the Pleiadians. It all feels very similar. So it might just be that it's all one great collective consciousness, soul energy, and we're tapping in with it. Having said that, when I talk to Abraham, it feels a little different than when I talk to the Minari, than when I talk to the Pleiadians, because I have a different visual and a different intention. So when I connect with Abraham, it's all about help me get in alignment, help me get on that high flying disc, all that stuff that we hear Esther say. When I tap in with the Minari, I generally tap in with them for activations, uploads, attunements, physical healing, psychic and energetic surgeries. When I tap in with the Pleiadians, it's because the person I'm sitting with is totally surrounded by that Pleiadian blue color that lets me know the Pleiadians are with them. So I don't have an answer to that, because I would just be writing a story if I tell you anything I tell you. To me, they do feel to be one collective energy, and I feel that they're all aspects of us, and they are one big soul energy, and Abraham is the Minari, is the Pleiadians, is the Archangels. It's all the same energy. And at the same time, I have a different felt sense experience when I talk to Archangels than when I talk to the Minari. Is that because they're different energies? Could be. Is it because I have a felt sense and a different idea in my head? Could be, right? So my focus is not on the literal. Are the Minari separate from the Archangels, or are they the same? My focus is on how does it feel. And it feels really good to call in the Minari to get all these psychic and energetic surgeries. It feels really good to see all of you amp up your worlds as you work with them this week. It feels good to talk to the Archangels because they feel different to me than the Minari. It feels good to connect with the Pleiadians and see that really trippy blue color that I always see with them. So what I focus on is what feels good. And because I've walked this path the amount of time that I have, I've come to a place of it's all gray area. There is no black and white. There's no right or wrong. There's no yes or no. Write the story that feels best to you. So if you are connecting with energies that feel kind of like the Minari and are different, then go for it. Work with those energies. See what their name is. See if they're something that you recognize, or if they're an energy that's, just sacred to you. And then you can introduce other people to them. That's the way I would work with it. It says that makes perfect sense. I just need to figure out what the message is that I'm receiving. So I'll touch base on this and then I'm going to close up. I might have to make these 90 minutes because it's so hard to get off the phone in 75 minutes. So hard to get off here. So I can talk to you all about that because I don't mind adding another 15 minutes each time. It's fun. This is a lot of fun to me. The person I was sitting with today is receiving information, and she was sitting with different receiving information as symbols and figuring out what everything means. So I want to mention that, and you may not be talking about this, Julie. I want to mention this, though. For each of you, you will receive information in the way that you receive it. So if you, so like I was telling the person in the session earlier today, there was some guy, he's some psychic who was on TV. He might still be, but he would say things like, I'm seeing a door. That means it's an opening to something, or I'm seeing a tree. That means it's a family, or I'm seeing the number four. Does four resonate for anybody? Ah, four. I'm seeing four and a girl. That means there's four daughters. You know, that's the way he received information. If I see a tree, I may or may not think of family. That may not be the way I receive information. If you receive in symbols or, you know, yes may be a big puppy dog. And every time you see that puppy dog, you know that's a yes. That's your way of getting information. Don't worry about if it feels silly. Spirit's going to speak to you in a way that resonates for you. If the Munari don't resonate for you, find some other star beings in the realms that do psychic and energetic surgeries and work with them if you want. I'm trying to think of examples, like, and see, I need to be in a session probably to remember, but I get certain, I see certain symbols that let me know, yes, no, they're working with grief. I also read the person's body and can see, scan their energetic grid to see what's going on. So you'll get information in different ways. I also hear energies talk to me very, just like I'm talking to you. Not everybody receives information that way. You might get information in colors, smells. If you're an intuitive, you'll feel it first, and then you get to figure out what you're feeling. So when you go into a shamanic journey, if you feel like there's a big cat, then call in a big cat, and a tiger or a lion will show up. What I did was I took my empathic abilities and my intuitive abilities, and I practiced them, and I created visuals so that I could then work with these abilities. So I would feel a cat energy when I first started out 20 years ago, and then I gave it a visual. I let my sacred imagination see that cat, and then I started talking to that cat, receiving gifts from that cat, learning from that cat, and then it just started to go from there and get bigger and bigger. So if you feel an energy that feels good and supportive, if it doesn't feel good and supportive, tell it to go away until it feels good and supportive. If you connect with an energy in the realms and it's some big bright light, and you're like, hey, you feel really good and supportive. Who are you? And it says, my name is Zagbot. Great. Hi, Zagbot. Talk to Zagbot. Ask Zagbot questions. Like, it's a silly name. And sometimes it feels silly, you know, and go with it. Don't worry about that. So what I focus on is, does it feel expansive? Does it feel supportive? Does it feel good? And I don't worry so much about if it makes sense. Because when our minds are trying to make it all make sense, we're trying to make it right or wrong. We're trying to make it good or bad. We're trying to make sure we're getting it right. And I'd rather be happy than be right. And for me, shamanism is about writing your story in a way that feels most expansive for you. And that's what I want this shamanic mentorship to be, is that you get to be the most expansive version of you. So you might do this a little different than I do. That's why each of you had different experiences that I read over here. Each of you went into your body and had a little bit different experience, and you all can get to the same place with it, okay? That was fun. Thanks, everybody. And you will figure out what the messages are. You just got to figure out how you're communicated with, if you're getting symbols or words, or, and don't overthink it. Stop overthinking it, everybody. Trust what feels good. Move in that direction. You all have a lot more discernment than you give yourselves credit for. So we tend to err on the side of so much caution that we don't allow ourselves to follow through with the information we receive. So I'm giving you permission to follow through with that information. Trust yourself. Trust that you have discernment. You're a good person. You don't want to do bad things to people. So allow yourself to go with the information you receive and enjoy it, and allow yourself to have fun. Thank you all for being here. I just want to say thank you to all of our guides for being with us today as we close up the sacred space. Thank you, Paige, for hosting, and thank you all for your questions, and thank you, Anna Claire, for walking us through that process together. I really look forward to this time together. It does not ever feel like work, which is so awesome. I really appreciate that. And so next time I talk to you, I will be in Cusco. And I'm really looking forward to see what kind of energy wants to come through from there. So keep sharing in the Facebook group as you feel called and sharing with each other. I love to see what's happening for you. And Paige, if you want to just unmute everybody, we can say bye.